together tonight to celebrate the birth of our Lord. Lord, you're so good. You're so gracious unto us. And there is no one like you in heaven or anywhere else. And we're so glad tonight and so thankful that your presence not only abides in us, but is with us always and forever and ever. And that our home is not here, that our home is in heaven with you. For we are citizens of heaven, pilgrims and sojourners here upon this earth. And Lord, tonight we approach you by faith as we celebrate communion. And as I always pray on communion night, Father, if we've sinned by word, deed, thought, or action, grieved, quenched, vexed the Holy Spirit of God in any way. Oh Lord, if we've traveled into the devil's territory, then forgive us and cleanse us. As we depart from there and cling only to Jesus, the one who paid and died for our sins. And Lord, we praise you. I pray tonight for peace in Jerusalem. I pray for peace in our own nation. And Lord, I pray your peace for each and every family that's here tonight and those that are watching live as well. Now, we love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me tonight. As we just briefly for a few moments, I want to share with you from John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3. John chapter 3. You know, I know that our hearts are filled with joy tonight because we're here and we worship and love and praise the God of all comfort, the God of all hope, and the God of all grace. And it's my prayer that he floods your hearts and that we be like Mary. Remember when Mary cried out in Luke 1:46, she said, "Oh, my soul magnifies the Lord, declares the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." And that's what we're doing tonight. And I pray that somehow, some way, that you rejoice right now in your hearts as I read the greatest Christmas verse probably anywhere in the Bible. I believe these are the greatest words ever recorded on this planet, the greatest truth ever given to men, and it's only 25 words. Here we find the true Christmas to all mankind. Let's look at verse 16. Well, let's begin there in verse 15. It says, well, let's 14. Well, let's, no, I'm just teasing. And Jesus says, if Moses, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Look at this Christmas scripture now. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, the truth is, with all of our hearts, as well as we know that scripture, this one should drive us to our knees tonight in everlasting thanksgiving to God. Amen. I look at that and I say, oh God, you love us. You have always loved us. And you know what? There are times in our life, and you know it and I know it, when we were some of the most unlovely people. Amen. And God has always loved us. I tell you, it's such a blessing for me to know no matter what happens in my life, no matter what I'm facing, that God loves me, that God loves you. And what blows me away is that God, who is self-existing, like I said Sunday, he's El Shaddai. He's the self-existent one. He doesn't need a thing. Not a thing. Anything he needs, he could just create. And I think about that. You know, the God who needs nothing, the source of all life, and everything, everywhere, depends upon God, who is the source of all life. And I say, oh God, the one who created everything, who sustains everything, and who knows everything, he loves you. And he loves me. And he loves us so much that he sent us a Savior. It says in Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time, remember that perfect time in history. It says when the fullness of time had come, listen to what the Lord did. It says that God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. And here Jesus, leaving heaven, coming to Bethlehem, being born there in a manger, and sent out from the presence of God into this lost, lonely, suffering world that we live in. And it is a lost, lonely, suffering world. Aren't you glad that you have the light of the world tonight and that he lives in your hearts and that he's always going to guide us and that we never have to walk in darkness ever, ever, ever because he is leading us and guiding us? And I say, oh Lord, you are so good. And why did he send his son? He sent his son for this, for God so loved the world. You know, God is love. You know that 1 John 4:8. Have you ever thought about trying to measure the love of God? God's love is absolutely perfect. And I think about the God, he doesn't need to learn how to love. He doesn't choose to love. He just simply is love, and he loves us without effort. And we work at loving one another. Amen. And I say, oh Lord. And then that night that Jesus was born, all of heaven rejoiced. It says in Luke 2:13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, that entire army of God, if you will, the angels descending and praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Peace on earth. Those are glorious words from heaven, aren't they? But you know what? I look at that and I don't want to sound naive, but you know, wouldn't it be wonderful if on earth there really was peace? No, I mean really. That, you know, there would be no children right now walking through the desert there like in Syria and other places, just trying to find food and trying to find shelter. Then ISIS would not be trying to kill people and torturing Christians there in churches. Can you believe that? And beheading people and so forth for their faith in Jesus Christ. And I look and I say, Lord, how wonderful it would be if peace was here. No hate, no prejudice, just peace. Peace in all of our hearts, peace in our homes, not a husband fighting with a wife or a wife fighting with a husband, and that we would just treat each other as God treats us with tremendous love. Amen? And I look and I say, Lord, if that could only be true. But it's not true. God's offer is Jesus. He says, that's the way to have peace. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have, it says, present tense, we have peace with God. As you've heard me say so many times through the years, God makes peace with man no other way, but only through his only begotten Son. Ephesians 2:14 teaches us that God himself, that he himself, Jesus, is our peace. And I'm so thankful that he is the Prince of Peace, and peace is a person. And one day there really will be peace on earth when he returns. And you know what's wonderful about that as we celebrate the birth of Christ tonight and have communion is that we will witness that very moment. We will then experience what that kind of peace really is. Imagine the whole world at peace because Jesus is ruling and reigning. Amen. It says, for God so loved the world, the object of God's love, the world, not the trees and the rivers and the mountains and all of that, but the people, every person. That means that no one has ever been excluded from God's love. All mankind, every race, every person, it is only God who truly loves man. And he loves us even as we come together tonight. And look how he revealed his love. It says, for God so loved the world. How did he reveal it? He gave his only begotten Son. That's the babe in the manger. That's our Lord and Savior. There is not a greater gift in all of time and all of the world as that of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is our Savior. God sent man's greatest gift. Our greatest need is salvation and remission of sin. And God sent Jesus for that very purpose, the spotless, sinless Son of God. It says in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his indescribable, or literally unspeakable, there's not enough words to declare it, Paul says, his indescribable gift. The Bible tells us in Romans 5:6, it says, for we know that when we were still without strength, when we were helpless and hopeless and living in sin and walking in sin and dead in trespasses and sin, it says in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And I'm so thankful for that. It says, for he has loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, should never perish, should never, ever have to go to hell. Amen? Oh, what a blessing that is to know that we are going to never go there. And I say, oh, Lord, what you desire for us is to have that everlasting life. You know, God gives us, man, a choice. And God desires no one ever, ever to go to hell. He wants all people to repent and come to the good news, the knowledge of our Lord. See, John 3:16 is a revelation of the will of God to mankind. He desires man to be saved. He desires them to come to the knowledge of the truth. If a sinner may go to hell unsaved, but I can promise you this, that he will never go to hell unloved by God. God is love. And tonight, you know, when I was driving around the city visiting other people and so forth, and I was just seeing all the lonely people, all the hurting people, and so many people, just, you want to reach out to each and every one of them and tell them about God's love. You almost want to scream it at them and say, oh, don't you know that God loves you, that he wants you, and he wants to save you. As we prepare now our hearts for communion and the ushers come forth and pass out communion tonight, listen carefully. This is our last communion, not forever, of course, but this is our last communion in 2014. And I don't know if you're like me, you become reflective at this time of year. You look back and you look at all the things, maybe the mistakes you've made or the good things God has done and so forth. And, you know, I pray that this was a year of fruitfulness for you, that you bore abundant fruit for the Lord. And I am thankful for what God has done. It tells us in the Bible, Paul writing to us, he says, you know, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And Paul says, and when Jesus had given thanks, he broke that bread and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man, let a woman, let all of us examine themselves, and so let them eat of the bread and drink of the cup. It said there in the verses that I read, I love those words. It says, for you. Those are two of the most beautiful words in Scripture. You know, tonight, as we remember the Lord and celebrate his birth, you know, I pray tonight that we remember, as the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 1:20, that he was foreordained before the foundations of the world, and he was manifested for us in these last days. I'm so thankful that Jesus came, that he was born, that he took my place, that he took your place on the cross. Amen? And all of our sin, like it says in 1 John 3:5, and you know that Jesus, he was manifested. He was made visible, if you will, the presence of God, to take away our sins. And as you know the scriptures just as well as I do, he has taken them, our sins, as far as the east is from the west. They are so far gone, and thank God they're under the blood of Jesus. And in him, it says, there is no sin. And for this purpose, it says in 1 John 3:8, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. You know, the devil comes to do three things and many more. Besides deceiving and blinding the minds and the things that he does, his favorite things to do is to roam around this earth seeking whom he may devour. He walks about like a hungry lion, if you will. I'm so thankful that Jesus defeated him, amen, and that he has absolutely no authority over us, and nor can he harm us or ever touch us, because we belong to Jesus, and the blood of Jesus has now cleansed us from all sin, and we are sons and daughters of God. But the devil comes to do those three horrible things. He comes to steal, he comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. But Jesus has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly, amen. Don't ever forget that scripture. John 10:10. Let it just burn there in your hearts. You know, 2014 is nearly over. And you know, I don't know how you feel about this year, but personally, I think this has been a difficult year. And it's like when I opened up, remember what I said about the year of fruitfulness, that it will certainly not be without trials. It certainly will not be without warfare. It's not going to be like, oh, everything is just going perfect in our lives. I think this has been a year of warfare for us, just fighting for every inch of territory, spiritual territory. And I'm so thankful that Jesus has paved the way and we've just followed him. And even though we've gone up or down, whatever, the Lord has never left us. He's never, ever forsaken us. So with 2014 drawing to a close, and we're going to celebrate communion here in just a moment. You know, by God's grace, which is sufficient for us, and by his incredible strength, the power, the dunamis of God that lives in our hearts, I pray tonight that you let go of 2014 now. There's only a few days left. And you know that we just let go of it. Let go of, if you've had defeats in your life, why don't you let go of that tonight as you hold the cup and you hold the bread? Just let go of it. And not the cup and the bread. I just want to make sure you guys are so obedient. I thought I was going to hear as things fall on the floor. No, but let go of our defeats and let go, you know, of our failures or our pains or what might have been, could have been, or should have been in our life. Let's leave it behind and let's look through the difficult moments if you're having them and say, you know what? Tonight as I celebrate the table of the Lord, I'm going to let this Christmas and I'm going to let these last few days be the new beginning for me, the new start for me in 2015, should the Lord tarry. And I'm saying, Lord, that's what we want it to be. The babe in the manger, you know, that came, who took our place, was born to take our place, was born to die for our sins, to bring us to God. Tonight, whenever we partake of the bread and drink of the cup, we're commanded, if you've noticed when I read, we're commanded not to remember his birth, but we're commanded to remember his death. Because see, his birth did not save us. It was his death that saved us. Amen? And oh, how we need to remember that tonight. Oh, these guys are so sneaky. They already had it here. I thought I was going to have to go down there, but here it is already. You guys are so wonderful. What we do tonight, we do in remembrance of our Lord. Amen. Father, we hold the bread. We are a family. And Lord, we are so grateful that you came and that you were born of a virgin and you were born in Bethlehem and laid in a feed trough and wrapped with swaddling cloths. And that, Lord, you grew up in stature in the wisdom of God and of man. And that, Lord, you were obedient to your parents. And Father, not only that Lord, through his own obedience, he went to the cross for us. He took our place. He indeed, beyond a shadow of a doubt, born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. Oh Lord, he is the bread of life. And Father, tonight we're so thankful for Jesus. We're so thankful that you sent him 2,000 years ago to be born on this earth that is so vile. And Lord, we praise you tonight as we partake of the bread. In Jesus' name, let us partake. And Father, tonight as we hold the cup, the blood of the new covenant in our hands, oh God, we're so thankful that we have a better covenant based on better promises and that Jesus Christ, our Lord, is our great high priest and our soon coming king. Oh Lord, we thank you We thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross and taking our place, our sin, our shame, our guilt, and hiding and burying all of our sin in the sea of eternal forgetfulness. And that, Lord, you have completely wiped out our sins, past, present, and future. Oh, Lord, let us walk in your light now. And may we enter into 2015 with a heart filled with a renewed heart, Lord, a heart that's wanting you and nothing of this world, and that we're never, ever, Lord, allowing ourselves to be conformed to this world, but transformed, oh God, by the renewing of our minds. I'm thankful for this night. I'm thankful for the sheep of your pasture. I am thankful that you've allowed me to be in the ministry, oh God, all these years. You're so good. Thank you for dying for us. Tonight we partake of this cup together. In Jesus' name, let us partake. Scripture teaches us, as I close out tonight, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, when Paul closes out to the church there at Corinth, he says this. He says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the fellowship," or the communion of the Holy Spirit, "be with you all. Amen." You know, I know that we understand, for somewhat sake, the grace of God. And we understand the love of God. But I'll tell you, it's that communion or the fellowship or the intimacy with the Holy Spirit that is so vital and is so needed in this present hour. Loved one, listen to me. The greatest thing you can do, if you have never had an upper room experience, if I could put it that way, if you've never been endued with power from on high, I urge you, I even plead with you, that ask the Lord to say, "Lord, fill me. Baptize me. If there's anything missing in my life that you want me to have and I don't have it, oh God, give it to me and pour it out on me right now." That's the greatest thing you can do, is have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Not only today, but every day in 2015. For he is not only our helper, our strengthener, our comforter, our guide, the one who loves us and keeps us. He's the one who sets the word of God ablaze in our hearts as we study it. He's the one who reveals the Lord to us constantly and the love of God and directs our steps. The greatest thing we can do is say, "Oh God, in Jesus' name, pour out the gift of the Holy Spirit upon us once again." And then obey the commandment in Ephesians 5:18, where it says, "Be ye being filled with the Spirit of God," the Holy Spirit. That's each and every day. May God's peace be yours. You know, God loves you. He is with you. He's Emmanuel. And God is for you. I pray you never forget that. I love you dearly from my home to your home and to your heart. I bid you a Christ-centered Christmas, and may he keep you in each and every way. By God's grace and through his grace only, I hope and pray that I am serving you faithfully and are still here in 2015. Amen? So let's pray. Father, we praise you. We thank you tonight for each and every soul that's here. And Lord, we look to you and no other. And Lord, tonight the enemy is defeated in our lives. We just move away from him. And I don't know what 2015 holds, but I know who holds it. And tonight, Lord, there needs to be a cleansing. There needs to be a freedom. There needs to be a new liberty in the house of God again. There needs to be the anointing of freshness, if there is such a thing. That, Lord, where you send freshness and renewal from heaven as we constantly keep our hearts guarded and that we repent of our sins, O Lord, and we look to you. Father, bless your people. May their homes be so blessed. If they're going to family tonight, bless them tonight, Father. as they travel. Keep them safe. If they're leaving town, departing, or to go to grandparents or wherever, Lord, be with them and keep them safe and bring them back safely. And Lord, thank you tonight. Thank you for our Savior. Thank you for Jesus Christ. We love him, we praise him, and we give him honor tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church says, amen. Let's thank the Lord one more time, shall we? You stand to your feet. Let's close out and sing to the Lord, and God is so good.